want to turn your attention this evening to the 30th verse of this 13th chapter of John's Gospel. John chapter 13 and verse 30. He, that is Judas Iscariot, then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. In this chapter of the Word of God, our Savior is gathered together with his disciples to keep the Passover. This occasion is known to us as the Last Supper. This was the last meal that the Savior had with his disciples before the crucifixion. And this meeting was not to end without events taking place and without statements being made of an extraordinary nature. Some of the events of this gathering took the disciples totally and completely by surprise. They heard statements in that upper room which none of them had anticipated. They listened to an Old Testament scripture that was quoted to them by the Lord Jesus. A scripture that spoke of a person performing a callous act. And to their horror, they listened while the Savior applied that scripture to one of their own number. They also heard, to their amazement, those words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. One of you who have been in my company throughout the duration of my earthly ministry. It is one of you who is to perform one of the most diabolical and hypocritical acts that ever was performed by mortal man. It is one of you, my own disciples, who shall betray me into the hands of wicked men." And on realizing what the Savior was saying to them, an atmosphere of sorrow and of sadness and of despair fell over the disciples. They began one after another to ask the question, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" And 11 times over, the Savior heard that same question from the lips of the disciples. "Lord, is it I?" But then, from the lips of the 12th disciple, the Savior was to hear a different question. This man did not say, "Lord, is it I?" This man asked the question, "Master, is it I?" Here was a man among the disciples, and he could not call Jesus Christ Lord. The scriptures tell us that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And this man knew nothing about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, for this man had never been sealed. Here was an impostor. Here was a hypocrite. And it was none other than Judas Iscariot. But sometimes when we think of Judas Iscariot, we tend to picture in our minds a man who couldn't be trusted. We think of a man, and if you were in his company, you would always be feeling very uncomfortable. But you know, right throughout the period of time that the disciples had known Judas Iscariot, they never once suspected him of not being saved. So much did they trust him that they appointed him to the office of treasurer among them. For the scriptures tell us that it was Judas who had the bag. His outward conduct had given the other apostles no occasion, not even as much as once, to suspect this man of being a betrayer. And yet here was an impostor. Here was a man who pretended to be a child of God, when in reality he was nothing more than a child of the devil. And at this gathering, after accepting the sop from the hand of the Savior, Satan took full control of Judas's life. And he arose from that supper. He left behind him that blessed company. He departed from that sacred gathering. And he went out into the darkness of the evening to conspire with wicked men against the Son of God. That is what I want to draw your attention to this evening. Judas's departure from this sacred gathering, or he has been described by some as the man who left the meeting and went to hell. The man who left the meeting and went to hell. And as we look at this 30th verse of Scripture, first thing I want you to see is this. The time of Judas's departure. Look at the opening words of our text that says, he then, having received the sop, went from his dead. He then, having received the sop. Judas left this gathering after he had received the morsel, or the sop from the outstretched hand of the Savior. The giving of this sop, it was a token of favor. And so just prior to Judas's exit from this meeting, the Lord Jesus Christ held forth his hand to this man in mercy. He held forth his hand to Judas with a manifestation of his favor, a manifestation of his compassion. It was a token that was intended to touch and to melt this man's heart, a token to invite him to forsake his evil way. And yet, despite having received this evidence of the Lord's mercy, Judas Iscariot still chose that night to reject Jesus Christ. There was no man more blessed than Judas. He had heard the gospel preached from the lips of that man of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. Judas Iscariot knew the gospel story and knew the gospel message. He was a man who had witnessed miracle after miracle being performed by the omnipotent hand of the Son of God. He had continually received evidences of the Savior's mercy, tokens that were intended to bring him to Christ in salvation. And yet, despite all that he had seen, despite all that he had heard, he still refused to accept Christ as a Savior. And the solemn thing is this, men and women. When Judas received the sop that evening from the outstretched hand of the Son of God, he had received his last opportunity to get right with God. And perhaps you're in this gathering this evening, And you've listened to the gospel message being preached for years. And you're still not seeing. And could it be that you're like this man, Judas? You've been acting the part of a Christian. Everybody thinks you're saved, but yet you know that the work of salvation has never been wrought in your heart. And for years the Savior in His mercy has sought to bring you to Himself. And again in this very gathering, His hand is outstretched towards you in mercy, in bringing you to this another gospel meeting. And I ask you, will you turn your back again upon the Son of God? Will you leave this gathering still without Christ? Will you go home again tonight still unsaved? Remember, just like Judas Iscariot, tonight could be your last opportunity to get right with God. This could be your last opportunity to get saved and get things settled for eternity. But I want you to see here in the second place the purpose of His departure. When Judas left the meeting that evening, he left for a specific and for an evil purpose. And yet even as he went out through the door, the other disciples, they were misled because they thought that Judas was going to do the Savior's will. If you look at the verse 29 of John 13, it tells us, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. They thought he was going to do the Savior's will. And yet far from going to purchase anything that evening, far from going to part with money, Judas Iscariot, he left that meeting to sell. He left that meeting with the sole intent of receiving money. He departed from that gathering with no other purpose in his head other than exchanging Jesus Christ and eternal salvation for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Covetousness reigned in his heart, and the love of money, it drove him that night eternally away from the Savior. And the full force of Judas's actions, they are described for us in the Psalm 41 and the verse 9. A psalm which in the clearest possible language, prophetically recorded hundreds of years beforehand, the attitude of Judas Iscariot that night. That tells us in that verse, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And Judas not merely turned his back upon the Savior and went out that night to exchange him for silver, but in effect, Judas, in departing from that meeting, he was kicking. He was striking with his foot at the Son of God. He who had received so much mercy. And he now treated the Savior with contempt. In the first book of Samuel, it is said to old Eli concerning his family, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice? Solemn words. And yet they aptly describe for us what Judas was doing. He was despising God's sacrificial lamb. He was kicking at God's sacrifice, trampling on their foot the Son of God. He was rejecting Jesus Christ. And for nothing more than a handful of silver. An unsaved man, an unsaved woman in this gathering, will you barter Jesus Christ and your hope of heaven for something in this world that is absolutely worthless? Or you say to me, I would never openly and blatantly take money in exchange for the Saviour as Judas did. And that may be so. But let me impress this truth upon your heart this evening. Whatever it is that takes you out of this meeting without Christ, whatever it is that takes you out through the doors of this building, still turning your back upon the Son of God, that's the price that you're putting upon the Son of God. That's what you're giving in exchange for Jesus Christ. And it may be a friendship. It may be like this man Judas, it may be the love of money. It may be the love of some sin, the dance floor, the drink, some relationship. But whatever it is, it's causing you to despise and to kick at the Lamb of God. And it's drawing you nearer, oh, still nearer, to an eternity without Christ and without hope. The hymn writer said, you may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things you may win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Then I want you to see here in the third place the result of Judas's departure. Look again at the words of our text. It says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out. Note those four words at the end of the text. And it was night. Judas, leaving that gathering, he went out into the darkness of the evening. And for him, leaving that meeting did not only result in him being found in the physical darkness of the night, but for Judas Iscariot, leaving that upper room, having rejected the Son of God for the last time, Judas Iscariot went out, and for him it would be eternal darkness. Judas went out of that gathering, and for him it would be eternal night. In John 12 and 46 we read these words, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And when Judas Iscariot left that gathering, he left it in unbelief. He left it still not having put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ. And when he closed the door of that room, he not only left behind him the light that shone between those four walls, oh, but far more importantly still, Judas Iscariot closed the door forever on Jesus Christ, he who is the Son of Righteousness, and he who is the light of the world. And for the few short hours of his life that remained, a dark cloud hung over his head. And then after going to a suicide's grave, the portion of Judas Iscariot was to dwell in the blackness of darkness forever. But you know, up in heaven tonight, sitting around the throne of God, there are the other 11 apostles who were in that upper room that evening. They're saved. They're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And yet the heartbreaking reality is this, that he who received the same opportunities as those 11, that he who heard the same powerful exhortations to repentance from the lips of the Savior, that he who witnessed the same miracles, he who enjoyed the same manifold privileges as all the rest, that man, he's not in heaven. But if we could see tonight down into the deepest, down into the darkness, down into the most terrible cavern of the dark, there we would find Judas Iscariot. And for the whole of God's great eternity, he will be continually reminded of that treacherous act that he performed that night. And then on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for a vile and wicked and sinful sodomite who dwelt in the cities of the plain than it will be for Judas Iscariot. His punishment is indescribable. Listen to what the Word of God says about Judas Iscariot's punishment. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Think of it. Good for Judas Iscariot if he had never been born. And men and women are learning tonight. Surely the warning from this story is clear. Surely it is unmistakable. If you have sat for years under the preaching of the gospel, listening week after week to the invitations to come to Christ and to save, if that has been your privilege, and tonight you're in this gathering and you're still not saved, then the warning, my friend, to you is this. Get saved tonight. Or if you're like this man, Judas, you've been living the part of a Christian, letting on you were saved when all the while you were not, then the warning, my friend, to you is this. Throw off that cloak of hypocrisy and flee to Jesus Christ for refuge before it is forever too late. Because if you die without Jesus Christ, having known and experience the privileges which you have had in this land, then it would have been good too for you, my friend, if you had never been born. God has been merciful to you tonight. who has brought you to this another gospel meeting. His hand is outstretched towards you in mercy, inviting you to himself. And we plead with you, don't go home tonight without the Savior. Don't leave this place without getting things settled for eternity. Don't go home tonight, my friend, and see you. Speak with us after the meeting. We're only a bit too happy to take time and appoint you to the Savior. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless his word to your hearts this evening.